Discover the Book, a daily look into the life-changing truths of God's Word with Dr. John Barnett. So if being a Christian is supposed to be this joy-filled life, why am I going through all these hard times? You ever ask yourself that question? Hi there, my friends. I'm your host, Brian Shoup, and I have the privilege of speaking for John and everybody here at Discover the Book when I welcome you to the broadcast today. So glad that you've met us here. As you probably know, John is leading us through a wonderfully rich series he has entitled Christ Our Refuge. And today he begins a brand new message in the series called Cave of Troubles. Ominous sounding, isn't it? But just before John begins our speedlunking expedition, I need to take just a moment and remind you that our website, discoverthebook.org, is the place you need to go to find a free copy of today's message waiting for you there. If you'll log on, click on the COR series icon, that stands for Christ Our Refuge, and then find the title of today's message, Cave of Troubles. You may download a text or audio file, your choice, either one's free. That's Discover the Book, written as one word, .org. And if you'd rather have that on a CD to keep, we'll send you a CD for only $5, postage paid. Click on the CD icon and follow those instructions. Once again, that's discoverthebook.org. And if you'd like to let John know just how much you appreciate his faithful ministry of the Word of God, an email would be a great way to do that. And our address is radio@dtbm.org. I encourage you to take just a second and jot down a quick note. radio@dtbm.org. Or our phone number is 866-815-2601. All right, now let's get to the book, God's Word. Well, we've spent several of our times together in the pits of David's experience, all the while, of course, reflecting on the pits we find in our life. But just recently, we completed a study of how to get out of the pits, and let's see if I remember those steps. Remember God's Word in my life, trust Him, submit to Him, repeat His truth, or preach the gospel to myself. I like that one. Rejoice and pray. And if you're like me, you need to repeat those steps often to yourself. Okay, so if I remember right, Paul followed David's example when he was in prison and he got out. David is eventually delivered from the pit that he's in. So then what? What happens to a man after God's own heart when he's delivered from one of the lowest, most depressing times in his life? And what should I expect when I get out of the pits of life? Well, you got your Bible ready? Here to open the book for us is our teacher, Dr. John Barnett.
We're continuing to look at Christ, our refuge, and that takes us to 1 Samuel 22, if you want to open in your Bibles there. 1 Samuel 22, Christ is our refuge, and this morning we're looking at this one thought. He's our refuge when we have to live in a cave of troubles. Now, what does that mean, to live in a cave of troubles? It's when your troubles won't go away, when you have to live with them day in, day out, when you're surrounded by troubles. And David's, in 1 Samuel 22, were troublesome people. He lived in a cave filled with 400 men who were all in trouble, who all had troubled lives, who all had troubled emotions, who all had troubled finances. They were desperate, they were troubled, they were in distress, and they moved in with him. Do you get the picture? That's when Christ is real. When we live surrounded by troubles that won't go away. See, Christian life is not escapism. We're not looking for the rapture to get away from our problems. We're not looking to come to Christ to have our problems evaporate. It's how to live through life surrounded by problems that won't go away. And the grace of God gives us the grace to go through. Look at 1 Samuel 22:1, because as we look at that verse, we're going back 3,000 years ago to a similar scene. Only it's 400 men in a cave all at the same time. And you add the time, the heat, and all the other attending conditions that life in a cave would bring. And you multiply that by the descriptions we're going to read of what these men were like. These were men whose lives were all under duress. They were all fleeing a great danger. Saul was after David, and so they were also at risk for their lives. And as we go into the harsh conditions of the cave at Adullam, we can start to see the emotional and physical furnace of adversity and the afflictions that David had entered. Then we can fully see the depths of his insights, because the first four verses of 1 Samuel 22 are just the intro to the next two psalms that we're going to look at, the 57th and the 142nd. But if you don't see Psalm 22, you don't understand 57 and 142. And if you don't see the crowded cave that David had to live in with troubles that wouldn't go away, then you don't understand the message of those two psalms. And that's what I want to underscore in your minds. Because 1 Samuel 22 is the context for these next two psalms. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. David, therefore, departed from there. Now, you always, when you see a there, you say, what's the there for? And what is it there? The there was, he's just coming in from Psalm 70, 40, and 13. Do you remember? Abandoned in the pits, and we did all that. And that's where he had just left that. He just left the pits and escaped to the cave. How would you like to leave the pits and go to the cave of troubles? And that's what happened to him. The cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his family's house heard it, they went down there to him. Verse 2. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Did you catch that? Everyone who was in distress, in debt, discontented, came like a magnet and started clinging to him. So he became captain over them. I'm not sure he wanted to be, but he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab and said to the king, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do with me. And he brought them before the king, and they dwelt with him all the time David was in the stronghold. And what we have is it got too bad for David to leave his family in that cave with all those 400 troubled lives. So he sent them off, and David began learning how to live inside a cave of troubles with people who wouldn't go away, who were under great distress. Let's bow before the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for your inspired word. It's so real, it's so powerful, it's so relevant to our lives, and especially if we'll have ears to hear, spiritual hearts to comprehend, we'll realize that we also live every day in this world, as it were, in a cave. And we're surrounded by distressed people at work and at school and even inside of our homes. And we're surrounded by a nation that's in debt, almost irrecoverably in debt. And we are a discontented people. And I pray that we would be refreshed and challenged, that we would be stirred and drawn by your Spirit, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, and for your glory we pray. Amen. One truth gripped my heart. The longer I spent, in fact, I had plowed on ahead and got into Psalm 57 and 142, but I kept coming back to 1 Samuel 22. And it got to be, I had underlined that everyone who was in distress and everyone in debt and everyone that was discontented so many times, I just backed up and I thought, what words are those? I mean, I think I know what distress and debt and discontentment is. And so I spent the whole week just looking at that scene and seeing how much it mirrors life today. Often we're struck with a question in our minds, does God have any insights for me in the 21st century? I'm a believer living in century 21. David is living 3,000 years ago in this book that we hold. I mean, the last words of it dried on the page almost 2,000 years ago, and I wonder if it's really still impactful. I know that the theology is true, but can it really affect how I live today? Well, let's look at the parallels, and you can decide, because the challenges of work and school today are so much mirrored by what David is going through. In other words, what we have to do to make it in the classroom and workplace of America today, David found the key back then, and the truth is still able to change us so that we can likewise reach the distressed around us, the people that are laboring under incalculable debt. Wait till I tell you. I mean, I had to go to the national debt clock last night. I wanted to get the freshest amount that all of us are in debt. Wait till you hear how much you owe and I owe this morning. Okay, I'll save that because I know you are excited about it. But David found the key, and he wrote down how God helped him minister to these desperate people. The group that came to live and work all around him were so representative of the culture that's around us. And it's so much a pulse of the heartbeat of America. They were distressed, they were drowned by debt, and they were discontented with life. That's what 22:1-4 describes. Now I ask you, isn't that an apt description of an average American these days? They are in distress. It seems like they're under the stress of the clock, under the stress of trying to pack in all the recreation and fun before the end of the season, and they're still paying for the last season, and they've refinanced to the hilt, and so they're really in debt, and now they're starting to get distressed because they didn't calculate in this astronomical price of gasoline, and so they're, you know, just going through that. And then in the midst of all that, they're discontented because somebody else has something better or more or newer or nicer or seems to be having more fun. Isn't that a mirror of our culture that we live in every day? But David not only found the key to ministering to that kind of people, he also learned, listen to this, how to not get dragged down by those around him. Now wait a minute. Where did David just come from? He just came from Psalm 13 and Psalm 40. David just came from feeling abandoned and being totally in despair and depression. Now, bringing in this crowd of malcontents and despairing people is a perfect recipe for a relapse for David. And if you think about it, as you look at the text, these verses note the emotional condition of everyone that joined up with David. They were an absolutely needy group. They needed his time, his attention, they needed his emotions, they needed his wisdom, they wanted him to be captain, they wanted him to kind of get them out of their debt and out of their distress and out of their discontentment. And that was a big drain on David. And in all their need, they invaded the life of someone just coming out of the pits themselves. Now, if you just think of those two factors, David's just recent past and their pressing need, you combine those things, and that's a surefire recipe for a relapse into despair, a return to the pits. But the good news is that that didn't happen, and that's the reason why we need to study this. For two reasons. How do you minister to people that are in distress, in debt, and in discontentment? And number two, how do you minister to them without getting drawn down and going into despair yourself? And those are the twin messages of this passage we're going to look at.
You're enjoying the teaching of Dr. John Barnett, pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can learn more about the ministry at discoverthebook.org or just stay tuned till the end of today's program.
So let's go to the place where David learned to live in the midst of a troubled people. And that's in verse 1. It says that David therefore departed from there. And if you're marking your Bibles, I actually have right above chapter 22, I've written at the top, Psalm 13, 40, and 70 are what happened just prior to 22:1. That's where we spent the last few weeks. We looked at David as he got into this mess. And I'm going to review it a little later, but I'll tell you what happened. The big problem was he set off fleeing from Saul and decided he was going to run his life and take care of himself. And so he says, I know what I'll do. I'll get to the Philistines, and Saul can't get me. And he got to the Philistines, the city of Gath, and they captured him, imprisoned him, and scared him out of his mind. And he goes through this act to act crazy to make them let him go. And what he did is he didn't trust the Lord. He trusted David. He didn't rely on the Lord. He relied on himself. And he found that the arm of flesh will what? Always fail us. And so Psalm 34 is the intro to Psalm 13. David so failed the Lord, he felt abandoned by God and in despair. And so then he looks up and sees the Lord is really there, and the Lord works him out of the pit of all of his troubles, that's Psalm 40, and then he gets right here in 22:1. And it says he departed from there, Psalm 13 and 40, and escaped to the cave of Adullam, alone. But he had the Lord with him. And he was going to kind of get it together. And all of a sudden, 400 problems walked in the door. Isn't that a neat, I mean, what an exciting way to look at this passage. David was now making the cave of Adullam his headquarters. Where is this place? Now remember, when you read the Bible, don't be a comfortable, well-adjusted American. Remember, I've told you this 25 times. We think that we can measure our success by progress. And so that carries over into our Bible reading. And we don't really care about depth, we care about progress. And we want to check the box off and have the chapter read and get through it in whatever time period. And a lot of times we'll read, and I hear people all the time, they do this, they'll go, therefore, David escaped hardward, and went hardward. Do you catch what I'm saying? Hard word. People don't even pronounce these places anymore. Do you ever hear public reading of the Bible? People don't even pronounce the names and the words anymore. They just read the words they understand. Do you think that the Holy Spirit was in error putting so many places and people into the Bible? Every word of God is pure. Every word was supernaturally engineered and planned and placed specifically by the Holy Spirit of God. As you're going to see in a moment, the three words for these three types of people are powerful words. And sometimes we just go right by them. So let me do a little study with you. Where's the cave of Adullam? Well, this headquarters is right between the cities today of Hebron and Gaza. You know, the Gaza Strip deal that's been going on and all the problems Israel's been having? Well, right between there and Hebron, which is down below Jerusalem, right between there, right in the middle in that stretch of desert, is the region where this cave is. Now, it's not just in that place. It's located in a canyon, and the canyon is called Rephaim, which means the Valley of the Giants. Hey, this is where Joshua and Caleb and the other spies came walking through this area as they spied out Canaan for the conquest way back after the Exodus out of Egypt when the nation of Israel was forming. And they came through this valley and it scared them, not Joshua and Caleb, but the other 10, scared them to death. They said, "There are giants! And we can't conquer this land." Well, David went back to this notorious place of fear, the Valley of the Giants. And he goes to this cave of the giants. And David relocated there, set up his headquarters, and in began to drift and come to him, we're told, about 400 men. By the time you get to the next chapter, chapter 23, verse 13, it's up to 600. So, I mean, this is just an endless supply of problems walking in the door. And David is fragile in our estimation. And all these problems come to him. Three types of people came. Those who were in distress, those who were in debt, and those who were discontented. First of all, I want to talk to you about who the people are that are distressed. Because this word, the Hebrew word for distress, is a colorful word. It's far beyond anything we would use it. But these men who came to him were, first of all, those who were in distress. Saul was in power. He was the king over Israel. David was rejected. He's out yonder in the cave. And Saul was persecuting and oppressing many of those who had been friends or loyal or surrounding David in some way. And so those people were being persecuted by Saul. And so they were uprooted. And they heard where David was, and they went to him. And many came to David in desperation and said, "I've been hounded just like you have been hounded. I've been hated like you've been hated. And I'm coming to join up with you." And David Price said, oh, great, that's just what I needed, you know. I've got my family that I'm afraid Saul's going to murder and assassinate. Now I've got all of my friends, you know, showing up on my doorstep. Well, if you think about life today, we're realizing what distresses are surrounding people today in their finances. I mean, have you been watching the Northwest and Delta and all the stuff going on with the airlines and the unions and the striking and the pension payments? Did you catch that? They're not going out this month for 3,200 pensioners and who knows who else. This is hard times, and there's a lot of distress out there. There's work pressure. There are family pressures. There are marriage pressures. And there's just plain old uncertainty. I mean, I told you last week, I almost got in a wreck. Gas dropped a dime, and I wanted a little more of it, you know, and now it's down 50 cents. I wish I would have waited, but there's so much uncertainty. And then there are school shootings, work shootings, domestic violence levels, and then there's the evening news that testifies to all the deep distresses collectively Americans face. And David's cavemates were equally distressed. So what kind of distress did these men have? Well, look at verse 2. It says, and everyone who was in distress. Now, let me teach you a great way to study the Bible, and it's very easy to do this. The first thing I do before I walk, you know, the way they situated my study here, I have my desk right here, and then if I get up, I can start walking, and I have constant walls, and then I go around the corner, and there's just wall after wall of books. They finally, in one place, have all 5,000 of my favorite books in the whole world, all just around me. But when I studied this second verse, before I got up and walked over and got a book, I went to my favorite Bible commentary. Do you know what that is? The Bible. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. And so I looked at this word distress, and I said, where else is that word used in the Old Testament? So I went back to Deuteronomy. You go with me. I'm going to show you something. Deuteronomy 28. And this verse is not for the faint at heart, okay? Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 53. What kind of distress did these men who came to David face? Well, the only way we could describe it is deep distress. How deep, you may wonder? Well, by looking at the other usages in the Bible of this word, we get a coloring for what they were going through. We can learn so much from the words that God inspired David to use to describe the condition of these hundreds of men surrounding him. The first word, distress, is a Hebrew word, matsuk. Doesn't that just ring your bell? Matsuk. So I'm really matsuk, okay? What is that? Deuteronomy 28. Look at verse 53. This word is used for being at the end of your rope, feeling that death is knocking at your door, and that no hope or help is possible for you. Verse 53. You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall matsuk you. Hey, there it is, the end of verse 53. Matsuk is right there. What's it describing? It's describing the Israelites in cities surrounded by armies that are besieging them, and the besiegers were just pressing in on them and letting their food and water run out until they got to such a point that they felt like that they were at the end of their rope, that they were no hope or help in sight, and they began to do incredibly bizarre things because they were absolutely in distress. Did you catch earlier in verse 53 the bizarre, horrible things they were doing? Let's keep reading. Look at verse 55. So that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children whom he will eat, because he has nothing left in the siege, in desperate straits in which your enemy shall matsuk you at all your gates. So this distress is something relentlessly coming towards you that you can't escape, and you feel hopeless and helpless and totally that you're going to be destroyed by the onslaught of whatever's coming. Keep reading the word a third time, verse 57. That which comes out from between your feet, your children whom you bear, you will eat them secretly for lack of everything in the siege and the desperate straits which your enemy shall matsuk you at your gates. The people got so desperate, their lives were so hemmed in by the siege that they began doing horrible things that people would never do. Now let's just dispel all the awful stuff we just read and think about the world around us. Did you know that you and I live and work and go to school and live next to people who feel like they're at the end of their rope, they feel that death is knocking at their door, and there's no hope or help possible for them? That's why in modern Europe today, suicide is at the highest rate in recorded modern times, because people don't know how to cope with life.
Thanks, John. Out of the frying pan and into the fire, huh? Unbelievable that God would plan for David to go from one horrible circumstance right to another one. And my friend, if you're enduring those rough times right now, that's probably not the encouragement you were looking for. You were probably hoping for a promise of relief from difficulties. And as a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to next time when John finishes up this message. But we aren't left without hope. Remember what he told us about which is his favorite commentary? Yeah, the Bible always has the answers for us. And the Bible tells us that we have been given everything we need for life and godliness. Don't worry, we won't be put either in the pit or the cave without being given everything we need to live there victoriously. Victory in Jesus. What about you, listening friend? Do you know that victory over the circumstances of life? Well, have you ever met the one who gives the victory? Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly." Come to him for life, eternal life with him in heaven, and he'll add to that a joyous, victorious life here on earth, regardless of circumstances. Well, time is gone again. I only have a moment to remind you of our web address, discoverthebook.org, where you will find a free copy of today's message. Click on the COR series icon, then find the title of today's message, Cave of Troubles, and then download your preference of a text or audio file. Remember, a CD is available too for only $5, postage paid. To contact us here at Discover the Book, you can email radio@dtbm.org or call 866-815-2601. Once again, the phone number is 866-815-2601. So until next time, we'll pray that you will, wherever you are on life's journey, discover the book.